Arranger and composer Spud Murphy greatly contributed to the success of swing band music by brilliantly orchestrating the elements of the big band: brass section, reeds, rhythm section, and soloists. For example, here's his great chart for Benny Goodman's hit, Get Happy. How did you get the name Spud?
In Ireland, they call potatoes Murphys. And where I come from, in Utah, they call them Spuds. So it's a combination. Murphy, Spud, potato, it all mixes up together.
As I read about Murphy, words like unrecognized hero and neglected genius came up over and over again in describing how his arrangements for major bands like Benny Goodman and Casa Loma contributed to the success of swing. This is Jazz Rhythm, a weekly exploration of the lore, culture, and personalities of early jazz. I'm Dave Radlauer. Welcome to Digging Spud Murphy, and talking with Spud was a pleasure. He's a gentleman of wit and intelligence.
In fact, one band I worked for, I got the worst tunes you could ever think of, paid for by the publisher. But they had their own arranger, and he got all kinds of great pieces. And finally, I said to this band leader, I said, why do you give this guy all the good stuff and give me all these turkeys? And he says, well, it's because he can't write a good chart on those turkeys and you can. I said, oh, I get it. Because I can write good, I get bad tunes. And because he writes bad, he gets good tunes. It don't make sense to me.
Thank you. Very nice. Get Happy from the wonderful new CD by Moore's Modern Rhythmists entitled The Goblin Market, celebrating the musical arrangements and tunes of big band arranger Spud Murphy. During this hour, I'm speaking with both Dean Mora and the redoubtable Spud Murphy, now in his 90s. As we listen to Mora's Modern Rhythmists playing Dixieland Shuffle that Murphy arranged for Bob Crosby's Bobcats, Spud explains how he got involved with the Crosby Band.
Some of my people played in his band, too. Let's see, Matty Matlock, I guess, would be the one that did most of the writing for Bob Crosby that I would have any contact with him about. The first job I ever had as a non-playing arranger, Matty Matlock was in that band.
Lyle Stefanovich, raised by relatives in Utah, proved early in life to have musical talent and was able to master several instruments, clarinet, saxes, and brass horns. Setting out at age 14 for a music job on the West Coast, he dubbed himself Spud Murphy.
I left home when I was 14, and for 2 years I starved. I wanted to go to San Francisco and get a job on the ship. They wouldn't let me on the ship because I was too young. Then I went to Los Angeles to see what I could do there. I couldn't do anything there, so finally I got friendly with a banjo player, and the two of us got a job across the border from Yuma, Arizona, in Sonora, Mexico.
His first professional job was half of a two-piece band working for tips in a Mexican border town.
And we stayed there for 7 months. 1925, yeah, that's early.
He wandered the American Southwest for several years, playing in obscure bands like the Rainbow Seven and Jeff's Hot Rocks. Other instruments you had played as a youth, you weren't using it as a working musician later?
No, because like when I had my own band, I found out that you can carry too much, because I have a lot of doubles, and carting all them around, plus the library, you had to have a strap, you got to find it, you got to put it around your neck, you got to find the saxophone, you got to find where the case is that has it. I decided that was too much, so I just hung with the clarinet finally.
By the late 1920s, Spud began achieving some small musical success in Texas, writing arrangements for Johnny McFall's Honey Boys, a 10-piece group. The first band to record one of his arrangements was the Jimmy Joy Orchestra in 1928. Jimmy Joy was the stage name of leader Jim Maloney. Spud's first recorded arrangement was the jaunty I Got Worry.
Thank you.
Dames, arranged by Spud Murphy for the Joe Hames Orchestra. Vocalist in that 1934 recording was Cliff Weston, and Moore's modern rhythmist singer Damon Kirsch from the CD Goblin Market, consisting entirely of Spud's arrangements and tunes, available through the Modern Rhythmist website, www.morasmodern.com. You're hearing Jumping Swing, Classic Blues, and Hot Jazz, new and old, on Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Redlauer. Thanks for joining me in Digging Spud Murphy. While it's true that one can find other remarkable but little-known big band arrangers such as Jimmy Mundy, Benny Carter, and Mary Lou Williams, as I read about Spud over and over again, words like unrecognized genius and neglected hero came up. Murphy's arrangements for major swing bands like Benny Goodman, Casa Loma, and others helped create swinging, popular music that was so good that musicians wanted to play it. People wanted to dance to it and buy the discs, and other bands wanted to purchase the sheet music. Here's more of my discussion with Dean Mora and Spud Murphy. The title tune, Goblin Market, is one of Spud's originals.
Yes, that's an original that he wrote in conjunction with Joe Hames. That was when he was an arranger for the Joe Hames Orchestra. Spud can corroborate this. This was based on a poem that your daughter liked. Is that how that worked?
Yeah, she was 7 years old, and she had this poem that she was reading. She says, "Daddy, will you give me a birthday present?" I said, "What is it?" Says, "Will you write a piece for Goblin Market?" And I said, "I suppose." So I wrote a piece for Goblin Market. That's all.
That was apparently a rather dated Gothic poem?
Yes, it's quite a bizarre poem. I actually read it. It was done in 1860, and it's laced with all these sort of hidden meanings and subtexts, which are quite advanced for its age. And it's very strange. If you ever get a copy of it, read it.
It's rather unusual, sort of in the model of Chant of the Weed or Queer Notion, something like that.
It's something that's very characteristic of the Joe Hames Orchestra at the time. Very angular, zigzag type of rhythms with some really strange, futuristic, as you will, futuristic sounding harmonies and all that sort of thing. That's definitely one of the hallmarks of the Hames Orchestra.
Spud, what can you tell me about the Joe Hames Orchestra?
Well, a lot, but I can't tell you whether I was angular or zigzag. The Joe Hames Orchestra, well, Joe Hames and I were friends, and we put together bands, and other people took them.
Was he just a director, or was he a musician as well?
Oh, no, he was a composer, arranger, piano player, and everything else. Thank you. affectionately named him the Little Giant.
Wow.
Because he was short of stature, but long on musical intelligence.
Where was that based out of, New York?
Yeah, because if you're not based out of New York, you're not working.
Mm-hmm. Did the band tour?
Well, they played mostly one-night stands, but sometimes we would go like a place called Pottstown, Pennsylvania, which is close to Baltimore and Washington and Philadelphia, and all of those. It was a good place, so we just parked there one time and put out a call that we were going to build a band. And so people came from all around those areas.
When you were doing these one-night stands, would you appear on local radio to build interest?
Yes, sometimes, if there was any. I mean, because we didn't control what they did. We just worked the jobs. When we played Baltimore, Joe Hames was very popular there, so we were always on radio from there.
In Baltimore?
Yeah.
So you did quite a few charts for the Hames Orchestra.
Yes, I didn't count them, maybe.
I think in the notes it's cited as 44.
Well, that's
yeah,
good.
Yeah, I think that's the number I came up with.
Well, that's good, because that's reversible, so we can't get lost.
Well, there's some terrific tunes in there, Dames and Modern Melody. There was one of these Goodman tunes that you restored the original Cole Porter lyric to?
That's right. That's the arrangement of Anything Goes. And the only recording that exists of that is a transcription recording that was done by Goodman under the pseudonym of the Rhythm Makers Orchestra. That particular version did not have vocals. Benny just played the melody on the clarinet in the place where the vocals were supposed to occur. So when we decided to record it, we decided to go ahead and reinsert the original vocal.
Now, you have a very good vocalist in the band. Is it Carrie or Kyrie?
Care Morrison. It's pronounced like C-A-R-E. She's very good. She's been with us now for, gosh, I guess now going on 6 years. She really studied up on the vocal stylings of the popular vocalists of that day. And in that case, that would be Helen Ward.
The world is gone mad today, and good's bad today, and black's white today.
A very nice Glory of Love, arranged by Spud Murphy for Benny Goodman's 1936 orchestra, Helen Ward, the vocalist. And Spud Murphy's arrangement of Anything Goes from the recent Mora's Modern Rhythmus CD of Spud's music sung by Kerr Morrison. Also, we heard one of Spud's early Joe Hames arrangements, Modern Melody. This is the award-winning Jazz Rhythm. I'm Dave Radlauer, speaking with both Spud Murphy, now hale and hearty in his 90s, and Dean Mora, leader of Mora's Modern Rhythmus. They're a Los Angeles-based band. Their CD of Spud Murphy arrangements and original tunes is available through their website, www.morasmodern.com. Still ahead on this first of two programs, Digging Spud Murphy, his own rarely heard band of the 30s, and Spud talks about working with both Benny Goodman and the Casa Loma orchestras. Promotional support for Jazz Rhythm provided by the Mississippi Rag, a monthly publication covering traditional jazz and ragtime personalities and contemporary events. Information available at www.mississippirag.com. Here's Spud's arrangement for a 1935 Benny Goodman Let's Dance radio broadcast. I think this compares rather favorably with the very hot Casa Loma treatment of Limehouse Blues. Of course, the real highlight, it seems, of your career, Spud, was your years with Benny Goodman.
Well, it had both a high and a low in it.
A high in what sense?
Well,
and a low in what sense?
Probably the best band around at the time, and the low is Goodman.
I've heard some disparaging remarks about him.
Well, I don't want to belittle him because it was not that way. He just was strange. In other words, he never remembered anybody's name, so he called everybody Pops, including his own family, because he couldn't remember their names either.
Wow.
All he thought about was himself and his clarinet and what to do with it, and he hardly ever thought about anything else.